So what I'm trying to deliver with this talk, or what I'm trying to achieve, is to share my view why I happen to like GRID and why I believe that it's a good thing for KD as a whole. Let me start by saying what I mean by continuous integration, because there has been a lot of talks about continuous integration, continuous delivery, and other stuff. So the thing which I'd like to focus on is a workflow where, you know, whenever someone submits a patch, which might be a great new feature, or might also introduce some regressions, I'd like to have some automated setup, which would be the first thing which gets triggered, and which verifies whether the build is still green, and whether all of the tests which you used to succeed still succeed. And so this is the idea about continuous integration, which I really like to get, and which we got with GRID. This is also something which might be a slightly different from the current setup which most of the KD projects are still using, which sort of revolves around the preview board. So how many of you actually like working with preview board? It's zero for the audience who might be watching the video. And how many of you have tried GRID? Not so many, but at least three of them. And did you like it or did you not like it? Did you like?
I thought I'd put my hand up to that question.
That's right. So did you like it more than review board?
I loved it.
Excellent. So you have at least a couple of GRID lovers, which is an excellent thing. Because the thing is, with review boards, there is really a lot of small things which I really hate. For example, having to paste that review something keyword. I mean, it's really a small thing, but it's exactly that kind of thing which I think a computer should be doing on my behalf. I'm doing all of this in my free time, and I do not really want to, keep pasting some random numbers around. And I've really got bitten by review board quite a few times, and I just do not want to use it anymore. So compared to review board, GRID is something which is very, very well integrated with Git. You upload patches by just doing a special form of Git push. You can retrieve any version of any patch by simple Git fetch. It's Git, so it's relative whether it's simple. And it's also something which is which we aren't really unique in using. I mean, Qt project is using it, Eclipse is using it, and plenty of other projects are using it. And what I'd like to do is to make, just to show how I tend to work with GRID. So what I'm going to do is to create a simple patch into Trita. Don't worry, I got it ready. I hope you can see it. I tried to use reasonable screen resolution. So it's essentially just something trivial for adding a couple of icons to a random dialog. As you can see, because right now if you try to send a new email, you see these two buttons at the bottom, and there are no icons, and icons are cool, of course. So I'd like to add some icons. Oh, I do not want to do that, of course. So what I do is, I've just modified some files. I took some shortcuts to do it. Now I type in a commit message, and because I added a couple of icons, the message is going to be adding some icons to the composer. Oh, and hi from a live GRID demo. Please review this carefully. That's it. And now I'm going to invoke a magic command, which is, of course, ugly. I'm not really going to explain all the details, but the thing is, I'm just using... Oh, fuck. That's what you get when you reboot all the time. So what I have done right now is that I've uploaded a new patch to GRID. And I can show you... I don't have Firefox running. So it's gonna take a while. Anyway, if Firefox was a little faster, I could have shown you how it looks like on the web interface. So maybe I can give it some time until it loads. But the thing is, what is really important, what has happened right now is I've uploaded this patch. Some servers back in Prague, which are patiently waiting for whatever jobs might come to them, they have already started trying to analyze this patch, whether it still builds, whether all the test suites still passes. But we were surprised if there is a problem, because this is just a change which adds a bunch of icons, but still, bad things can happen. I've only tested this using Qt 5. Maybe there is some Qt 4 specific thing which I forget about. And so what's happening right now is that I think at least 5 builds are being performed in Perl. It's using a bunch of different versions, including 5.2 of Qt, Qt 5.3, Qt 5.4, using GCC and Clang as compilers. There is also a Windows cross build going on using MinGV64. And yeah, there's one thing. This is quite a limited projector with a limited screen resolution, and the Gerrit website really loves to use all of your screen estate. So this is not going to be very impressive. I can maybe increase the font size a little bit and hope for the best. I don't know. Is it readable at least a bit? So what you can see, if what I've just done is was opening a. Come on, go full screen, please. Anyway, so this is something like an overview of how the Gerrit web interface looks like. And in this area, you can see that some feedback from the continuous integration, that it's being tested right now. I can open a live status page, which shows me that there are some jobs which are still running. These are the blue ones. One of them has already succeeded, the green one, and this one is got stuck in a queue because we don't really have so many servers available right now for some reason. And it's going to be executed after a while anyway. And so while we wait for these results from the continuous integration, I'd like to explain what exactly is this CI setup doing, because it's something which is called Zool, which is sort of funny name. It comes from the OpenStack guys, who are quite famous for assigning funny names such as Zool or Turbo Hipster UA projects. And the purpose of Zool in this context is quite similar to what the Jenkins would normally do. I'm using Zool because, well, it was a little easier to do it this way. And in the setup, which is deployed right now in Prague, Zool actually performs two things. First of them is this early feedback on patches, which I try to describe. And the second one is something which you maybe already know from the KDE's continuous integration. It's some, producing some more or less pretty dashboard showing the status of each and every project, whether it still builds, whether some of the test cases are failing or not. This is roughly how it looks like. On your left, you can see a list of projects. Each column represents a certain build profile, for example, using Qt 5.2 or 5.4, using different compilers. If it's green, well, it's green. If there is some red thing, it's a sign of some trouble. Either it doesn't build or some tests failed, it's written in there. Now, the thing is, all of these tools are effectively completely separate, because Gerrit is one standalone tool, Zool is the second standalone tool, and nonetheless we were able to make them play well with each other. And another example of such a tool is actually Bugzilla. And what I would like to show right now is how the integration of Bugzilla and Gerrit looks like. I'm afraid it's a little bit blurry, but you can see at the top, it's a screenshot of a Bugzilla page, and what we have done is simply adding a bunch of custom fields, which show that to a particular bug report, there are two patches in Gerrit, which sort of address this issue. And in a similar manner, what you see at the bottom is how it looks like in Gerrit. It shows live data from Bugzilla, which are always synchronized, and there is really no potential for them to get out of sync. And it shows that there is a, you know, in this particular page, it tries to address a certain bug report. And if it was, you know, Wolf Ghost, it would show that it's some bug in Plasma Shell in such and such component, and it's already fixed because well, the change set is already has been already merged. So the point is, this is about integrating two separate systems, which were designed with little to no knowledge about each other, and still they are able to play well because they there is a set of standardized APIs. Now, and you know, whenever I talk to someone about Grid, sooner or later, someone would say that Grid sucks. And well, that's right, because it sucks a little bit, especially user interface sucks quite a lot. And you really absolutely have to read the documentation in order to not to, you know, have to fight that entire thing. But there are actually two points which I'd like to add. First of them is that Grid is more than just the web interface. It's also a set of APIs and set of functionality. And I think that even if the user interface, the traditional website, if it was completely unusable, still there would be some benefit or some merit in trying to use the rest and maybe fix the parts which are ugly. And there is quite a lot of development environments which integrate well with Grid. For example, Eclipse, which might be a little bit, you know, exotic for us. But I don't really see any reason why someone could quite easily provide a plugin for example, Qt Creator. And in fact, Qt Creator already contains some code for playing well with Grid. It's very basic in the feature set, but you know, we can improve this. For example, we could also write a plugin for Kdevelop, I think. And there's also a command line tool which I'd like to use and to show you as another live demo. It's called Gertie, which is another funny OpenStack name. And the thing is, it's a quite useful application. It's based on encurses. It's written in Python. And it supports working offline with Grid, which means that it was actually designed by some OpenStack guys who you know, like to travel a lot and burn a lot of airplane fuel and whatever. And what they do is that because they travel a lot and they have no network access in the airplane, so they wanted to get something which would provide a feature set comparable to regular email client. So what I ended up doing is developing something which talks to Grid using these standard APIs. And what you can see right now is a list of some projects which were added into this client. And for example, right now I'm going to browse a list of pending patches to Truta. The set which, or list which we can see right now, it's something which I haven't reviewed yet. You can trigger between showing everything, and I can go back to showing just something which needs review. And here is my patch about adding some icons. You can see that it's quite well integrated. It shows the list of results from the continuous integration. We can already see that our build was successful. If I go back to the website, it should be, maybe it needs a reload. Right, you can see that it received an automated vote from the continuous integration system saying that it's perfect. So if some of you are bored, you can just preview my page and say, go. But yeah. Back to the Gertie. I can, of course, not only just browse some set of reviews or whatever. I can also take a look at the unified div, and of course, because I'm using quite a big font so that it's visible, the quality is not really perfect. But I think you get the idea. If you use it on your laptop, it's going to be much better. Now, going back to the talk. Now, going back to top here. I also have to admit that Grid absolutely has some drawbacks. And in fact, something which I presented as a benefit of Grid could be also one of its strongest weaknesses. Because the mere fact that it's integrated with Git, means that someone really should learn how to use Git. Because if you are missing some Git basics, like how to make a bunch of commits and what a branch means and how to push and whatever, you are going to fight with Git. So in this, to a certain extent, yeah, Git might not be terribly useful for people who really, you know, struggle with Git. I think that the biggest actual technical challenge is that it, you know, using Git efficiently requires having a client-side hook, which is something which simply automates the thing about adding a unique identifier to a commit message, because that's what you need if you ever want to upload an updated version of your patch, because, you know, otherwise Git would have no idea how to understand whether you're updating something or not. These might be little inconveniences, but still, it's possible to get around them with some tooling. For example, there is a project out there which offers a web interface where people can just, you know, upload a unified div, and that tooling is going to create a Git review request. And I do not really see any reason why we can't deploy this within KDE. If it makes life a little bit easier for some of our users or potential contributors, well, why not? So if you're interested in some technicalities, technically it's running at some OpenStack cluster in Prague, because that was some free hardware, and yeah, thanks to SysNet for that. It's using Turbo Hipster, which is another fancy stuff from the OpenStack community, to execute the jobs, something like just a simple form of RPC stuff. And the key feature is we really just used all of the KDE's existing automated setup for performing the build. So the build scripts are identical, and even the build metadata are just simply reused. And for example, one thing which I really, really like compared to the Jenkins setup which we have right now in KDE is that this thing provides more build profiles or more build versions, because, as I said, you can build against multiple versions of Git 5. I, of course, am perfectly aware of the fact that Jenkins can do it as well, but the thing is, our instance right now doesn't offer it, which is a little bit unfortunate for me. And on a slightly off-topic thing, because we are already performing a full rebuild whenever someone sends a batch, we were actually able to provide Windows exe files as an installer whenever someone, you know, uploads a change for testing, which means that, for example, if I have a Windows user and he reports some nasty and annoying bug, you know, I can fix the bug for him. I can just point him to my continuous integration setup, and he's able to reinstall and get the fix done. And I can get the fix tested, which is the perfect thing. It's sort of a shame that we can't really do something like that in an easy and efficient manner on Linux. The CI metrics which I showed, you know, that red and green table, it's technically it's built on CouchDB. It's also one of the only pieces of code which was written specifically for KDE, because the OpenStack guys, they have a slightly different workflow, so they haven't really needed these sorts of dashboards. This is very useful for KDE, because in KDE we unfortunately do not have mandatory code review. We allow all of our developers to just go and push stuff, and so this is why I think we need something like this. On a technical side, everything is implemented in JavaScript using jQuery, which was sort of a funny project for me to learn. It's also something which I would really not like to do ever again, because, well, it's JavaScript. And similar, the integration between Git and Bugzilla. I mean, well, JavaScript is fine, but it's not really my cup of tea. Git and Bugzilla also. This is also something which is done completely on the client side. And it required even some server-side tweaks, because, you know, web is full of security exploits and issues and whatever. And there is that funny thing such as cross-origin resource scripting, how is it called, and access control allow origin header, which I really had to strip away for this feature to work. Because, you know, Garrett and KDebug Zero runs at different top level domains, which brought up all sorts of fun. And yeah. So, as a quick summary, and what I'd like to say is that I think that we are at this point ready to deploy Garrett and to make quite a good use of it. I think little to no changes have been actually made in the past 6 months. So, yeah, except the status metrics, which is quite a new addition. But I think that the system has been already proved and shown to be you know, reasonably stable and usable. And I think that at this point, and this is also the purpose of this talk, we should really try to evaluate whether it's a good choice for us, whether it's something which each of us would like to use in their own project. So this is my suggestion. If you'd like to give it a try, I think it would be terrific. And I think this is all about the technical stuff. And I also have one thing which is more of a personal. There was quite a long discussion on the KD Core Devo mailing list, and I would like to apologize for not being receptive enough. I'd like to improve in this matter because I don't think that anybody enjoyed the discussion. So thanks for your attention. If you'd like to use Garrett or try Garrett for your project, it would be terrific. And if you've got any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Hello, I have two questions. First, I heard the rumors that say that Garrett forces you to use a specific git branching workflow. Is that true?
Did Garrett, I didn't get the...
Forces you to use, like, there are a couple of workflows to do branching in Git and collaboration, and Garrett forces you to do one of them.
I don't really think so. You know, there might be certain workflows which are a little harder to get with Garrett in with reasonable efficiency. For example, if you've got long-lived branches and you'd like to review merges between these long-lived branches, it might be a little more complicated than the rest. I'm quite sure it's doable because there are projects out there who are, at least I think so, who are doing exactly this. But I think I can only comment about my own experience, and my own experience is more or less about a single branch, which is always reasonably stable and almost always ready for release. And then there is a set of feature branches. I mean, the key thing with Garrett is that what you would usually implement using a feature branch in Garrett, it's called a topic. It's simply a series of comments which depend on each other, and they've got assigned a certain label, which, by the way, happens to be exactly the same thing as a branching git, except for namespace where it lives.
Okay, that was my perhaps second question: whether it's possible to review a group of patches at once. I assume yes.
If you mean to squash them all into a single comment.
For example, with review board, you have to like put everything into a single patch. You cannot make a review for 10 comments which are close to each other, but you still want to have them separated.
Uh-huh. So, well, with Garrett, Garrett really works on a per patch basis. So, if there is a feature which takes you 10 patches to implement, you will have 10 changes to evaluate. Of course, you could take a shortcut and just take a look at use whatever git tools which you'd like to use, such as just console git diff whatever, and take a look at the diff between the start of the series and the end of the series. Mm-hmm. And if you like it, then there is that not really so useful way of just pressing the mouse 10 times because you got to approve 10 patches. But actually, I think that this is quite a good thing because it sort of forces you to think about Git bisections. Because if you ever want to, find out if there is any regression, you really want to make sure that, there is, for example, forgotten file in commit A, which only got fixed in a subsequent commit, which if you know what I'm talking about. This might be a little bit annoying. So, yeah, it's...
Okay, so, but there's like, you know, this GitHub style pull request when there's like individual comments about you, get displayed full div, and you can comment on like the whole topic. It's not equivalent in Garrett.
Nope. There is some ongoing work on actually being able to submit an entire topic as one thing, but it's ongoing work, and I don't think it will happen any soon, to be honest.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Do you see any potential for Fabricator and Gary to coexist, or do you think they are mutually exclusive?
That's a good question. My answer to this is, well, for me, I don't really see much of benefits in myself using Fabricator, because I've already found a tool which is good enough for me. On the other hand, I think that the KDE community is, you know, quite wide and diverse, and I mean, we have plenty of music players, we have plenty of email clients after all, and you know, maybe we have different values and different needs to address. And for example, if, and it's really an if because I do not really know Fabricator, if it makes workflow a little easier for newcomers and a little harder for project maintainers, maybe there are some projects out there who would like to focus on these sorts of use cases. I know that in Twitter, my time is very limited, and there is quite a lot of, you know, students who are contributing pitches every now and then. So I think it makes sense to sort of push the load in the to make it harder to enter a little higher, which is of course true, because if you need to, you know, learn Garrett, sort of learn it, it's a little harder than just, you know, submitting pitches by hand. But yeah, so I think the answer is yes. I think that these two tools can coexist and should coexist, because, you know, we are all doing this in our free time, and I think that each project should decide what they want to do. Maybe there is some use case for a single project to use both. I don't know. I can imagine that it would be a little confusing, but why not, I guess?